As we light the first Advent candle, the candle of hope, we are reminded that Jesus is the light of the world. We read in John 8:12, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Psalm 31:24. Be strong and take heart, all you who hope in the Lord.
Lamentations 3:25. The Lord is good to those who hope is in him.
Romans 5:5. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us.
Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful.
Psalms 33:22. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you.
If you'll bow your heads and pray with us now, please. Lord, renew a sense of hope in our hearts this morning. Let your word and your promises remind us of the hope that our prayers will be answered, that doors of opportunity that seem closed will be opened, that broken relationships will be mended, that diseased bodies will be healed, and that damaged trust will be restored. We pray this in eager expectation of our coming Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Morning. What's everybody laughing about? All right, I must have missed it. Good to see everyone out this morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to New Harmony Baptist Church. We've still got several missing, looks like. Maybe some is overeating at Thanksgiving. But good to see everyone out today and really enjoy this Advent time. I was telling them this morning, you know, it used to be had never done Advent before. It used to be just to be, a Catholic church thing, but now other denominations are starting to do it, and it's great. I enjoy it. It leads us up to the time of Christmas. And by the way, we will be having a Christmas Eve service here at 8 o'clock, Christmas Eve night, of course, and we'll be getting some things together for it. It's not going to be real long, but there's not a better night that we should be together as Christians. It's the night that we celebrate the giving of the best gift that's ever been given, which is Jesus Christ. So I thank those little ones for, it takes a lot of courage, even in a crowd this size, to get up in front of people and read. So I appreciate them doing it. And by the way, we're going to need more volunteers. 3 more sets of volunteers and plus maybe one for Christmas Eve night. But so it's not that hard. We said a lot of times the number one fear of all people is talking in front of people. Something we do every day. But that's our number one fear as people. It's above snakes, heights, everything you can think of. Fear of speaking in public is the very highest one. And I understand because I had a problem all my life with it. So if you want to do that, get with Peggy. You will get a blessing from it, I promise you. It's really special. Do we have any prayer requests this morning before we get into our service? I know it was a family here in Heflin lost a loved one, a Prothrow family, I think, so remember them. Actually, 10-year member of my mother, she is still hanging in there. I thought she was real low last week, but she's again back to where she has been in a nursing home and seems to be perked up again. So thank God for that, for the time he's blessing us with. And be with Maudy, as Maudy's still having a little hard time. Can you pray for her? And do we have any others? Yeah. Remember them. I know Janelle desires her strength back. Was she able to cook her dressing?
No.
I know she was thinking about it. So y'all continue to remember them. Anybody else? If not, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day you've given us. God, we thank you for the health and strength that you've given us to be able to stand and wake up this morning. God, we ask you to Be with our church as we go into this Christmas season. And Lord, I ask that you touch families that's lost loved ones. God, those that are sick, I ask you to heal their bodies. And Lord, I ask you to slow us down this time of year that we may see the gift that was given. And many times we rush through this time and we even find ourselves dreading it. But God, let us understand the joy that came with that first Christmas gift, which was your son. Father, we pray this morning if there's one in here that needs you, that God, you'll open their heart and that God, you'll draw them to yourself. And Lord, we pray earnestly for this family that was touched by suicide this week. Lord, we don't understand the reasons, but God, we pray for those that are hurting emotionally, spiritually, this time of year, God, that feels like there's not another way. Put us in their path that we may speak hope to them. God, these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
For me, not against me. chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. Oh, I am who you say I am. Yes, I am who you say I am.
I will listen.
I will love.
all of my days. I will sing to you and worship the King God. Lord is worthy. I will love and adore him. I will bow down before him. I will sing to you and worship the King God.
Worthy of praise.
Worthy of praise.
I will follow.
I will follow.
I will listen.
I will listen.
I will love you.
I will love you.
All of my days. The King who Lord is worthy. I will love and adore him. I will bow down before him. I will sing to you and worship the King who
He is worthy.
I will love and adore him. I will bow down. And I will live my life for you. I will sing to and worship the King who is worthy. I will love and adore him. I will bow down before him. I will sing to and worship. The King who is worthy. I will love and adore him. I will bow down before him. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you.
Man, good singing this morning. Appreciate that great song and our songs. They took my pulpit away again. The only thing I don't like about this time of year, my security blanket, something to lean on. But if you got your Bibles today, turn to Job chapter 42. Very familiar story about a man named Job. I think we all can relate. I don't think there's a one of us in here that's never been through a problem, through a storm, through a hard time. And when we're in the middle of those, we begin thinking and saying, God, why me? Why must I go through this? And we don't understand that the Bible teaches that it's coming to every man to go through problems. But when it's our turn, it's hard. I remember when my mother was diagnosed with cancer back in March, called my good friend Joey Meeks, began telling him about what was going on, and told him, I said, Brother Joey, it's hard. He said, it's a lot harder on the son's side than it is the pastor's side. And it's a lot harder on our side when it's problems as ours than when somebody else has told us about our problem. But we must begin understanding some things to, and listen, we'll never make sense of our problems. We'll never make sense of the storms that we go through, just as Job couldn't make sense of why he was going through what he was going through. Today I hope maybe through these scriptures we can help you understand just a little bit of that God's in control. That God's in control. I'll go ahead and and tell you, most of y'all know, I've been going through a few health problems lately. Just not really sure what's going on yet, but a little thing. And scared. I'm a big baby, and Stephanie calls me hypochondriac and all this other stuff that falls in there with a man flu and all this other stuff. But been scared and understand, you know, and trying to figure out what's going on. And I was, the other day, was somewhere, and just as plain as day, God says, I'm in control. I'm in control. And even though I know he's in control, it still scares us. It still gets us excited. We're anxious about it. We don't know what to do. And because of this, we begin fretting. And the Bible teaches us that we shouldn't fear. We know that, but we're still people. But I want you to see today, in Job's life, there was a lot of things that Job thought may have caused his problems. But when it all come down to it, it was just simply God being who he is. He allowed Job to go through this thing to prove a point to Satan that he had a man who would serve him for no matter what. And what a great story it is. In Job chapter number 42, verses 1 through 6. If you would stand for reading of God's word. Very, very short. Job chapter 42, verse 1 through 6. Now this is at the end of when Job has already suffered more than any of us can ever imagine. He says, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou can do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered, and I understand not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I harbor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Father, we thank you for this word. God, we thank you today. God, for an example of a man named Job. And God, for your word to tell us that it's Job's not the only one that ever goes through problems. And Lord, that in these problems, we begin to see you at work. And we thank you for who you are. It's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to see that in Job, the Bible teaches, if you begin studying the first of Job, that Job was a righteous man. Job was a man who served God for no matter whatever it was, Job was going to serve God. And now Job had three friends who came and began telling him of all he had done wrong, but we know that they didn't know what they was talking about. But Job was a righteous man. And today, when you're in the middle of your problem, I want you to understand that your righteousness means nothing. Your righteousness means nothing. I know a man who was diagnosed with cancer. And this man had done some bad things in his life, as all of us has. And he said that when the doctor walked in and he said, "You have cancer," he said, "The first thought that hit my mind was, boy, God's getting me back now. God's getting me back." And then he said the Holy Spirit of God brought a peace about him. And God said, "That's not how I act. That's not how I handle things. I love you and I care for you. And my best interest is for you. And I'm not repaying you for any bad thing you've done." And listen, Job was a righteous man. And Job even tried to make himself seem like he was more righteous than he was. Listen, you turn to Job chapter 31, verses 1 through 12. And Job begins explaining in some of his righteousness here. Listen, he said, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. When should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above? And what the inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Does not he see my ways and count all my steps? Have I walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit? Let me be weighed in even balance, that God may know mine integrity. If my step had turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, if any blot hath cleaved to mine eyes, then let me sow and let another eat. Yea, let my offerings be rooted out. If mine heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind unto another, and let others bow down upon her. For this is a heinous crime, yea, it is iniquity to be punished by the judges. For it is a fire that consumeth to destruction and would root out all mine increase." Job was telling the world in this verse that, hey, my relationships are in check. I haven't went after strange women. I haven't done any of these things. I haven't looked at the things I shouldn't look at as far as that goes. I have been completely pure with my wife. My relationship with my wife has been right. There has not been anything wrong there. So go ahead and get that out of your mind of why this problem is upon me. Now listen, Job was going through the worst trial of his life. His children had been killed. Everything had been taken from him. And Job was in a place where he didn't know what was happening. And listen, and he knew people was going to begin talking. So Job here would begin what he was doing may have been wrong, you may think, but he was making himself seem righteous. And when he looked at his life, he said, God, why is this coming upon me? My relationships are in order. I haven't done anything wrong this way. I haven't went after this strange woman. I have been a good man. So why in the world has this come upon me? That's the first thing we began thinking when problems happen. Well, surely God's paying me back. May I tell you this morning that God's not like me and you. He don't pay back like that. He loves you. He cares for you. And the Bible teaches that the good of those that love Him is what He's for. And today, if you're going through a problem, I want you to understand it's not because of your righteousness or lack thereof. Yes, it can be, but listen, it's simply that God is allowing a problem to come in your life for your growth and for the growth of those around you. And we don't understand that, and we can't make sense of it. Job went on. He says in 31:16-22, he said, I have not despised the poor and the fatherless. He said, if I have withheld the poor from their desire, if it caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel, myself alone, the fatherless have not eaten thereof. For from my youth he was brought up with me, as with a father I have guided her from my mother's womb. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, of his loins have not blessed me, if he were not worn with the fleece of my sheep. If I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless, when I saw my help in the gate, then let mine arm fall from my shoulder blade, and mine arm be broken from the bone. He was saying, God, I have fed the poor. I have touched the fatherless. I've gave them homes to live in. I've given them warm clothes. I have done everything I could for them. God, don't you see how good I am? Don't you see the good things I've done? And listen, in all our struggles, how many of us begin telling God how good we are? Bless God, I know we do. We say, God, why am I going through that? You know I preach your word. God, why must I be struggling with this? You know you know my heart, Lord. You know how good I must be. Why in the world am I going through them things? And listen, Job was asking the same thing. And the Bible said that Job was a righteous man. Job was a man who knew the Lord. He trusted the Lord. He leaned on the Lord for all of his understanding and wisdom. And God still allowed Job to go through some problems. My friend, today you may be here and you may have fed all the poor and have. You may have gave clothes to all the people that don't have clothes, and you're still going through a problem. Why is it? I don't know. And you don't know. But it's not because of our righteousness. Job goes further to explain it to us. In Job 31:24-25. I must not have had that one down for him. I'll read it. I don't need to read it. But listen, Job tells him here in this 31, he says, God, money has not been my downfall. Money has not been my God. Money has not been the reason that I've done this. God, you know what I've done with my money. I've done right with money. I've spent it in the right way. I've not went out and bought things I didn't need. God, I've given to these poor. I've done told you. God, money is not my problem. It's not. You may be saying the same thing. But God, you know how good I am. God, my relationships are right. I have not held back from the poor. God, money is not my God as it is many people's because we look around and you see what we do is we find problems while everybody else is going through problems. How many of you have been guilty of when you hear somebody's going through a struggle, you said, I know what's happening. He has been so greedy throughout his life, God's paying him back. Or he has run around on his wife, or he's did this, he's did that. That's why he's having this problem. That's probably why this cancer's come upon him. That's probably why this problem is happening to him. I bet you he's not righteous. My friend, today I want you to understand, I hope I drive it into your head today, your problem you're going through is not about how good or not you are. It's about God. He says money has not been my problem. He had not even hated his enemies. Verse chapter 31:29-30. If I rejoice at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when the evil found him. Neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. God, now you got to understand, I'm a pretty good old boy again. Here I am. My relationships are right. I fed the poor. I've gave to the needy. Money don't mean nothing to me. Yes, I had a bunch of it, but it's nothing to me. I loved all these things. I even love my enemy. I never curse my enemies. I am good, God. Don't you see how good I am? Why must I be going through this? Why is this storm in my life? Why is this thing upon me that I can't understand, God? I don't understand what to do. And all alone, God's just sitting there listening and saying, listen, it's this big baby. Listen to him tell me how good he is and how good he thinks he is. Listen, God had done said of Job that he was a righteous man. But God knew everything about Job's heart. He didn't need Job to tell him everything. God knew that man's heart, and God knows your heart. And listen, again, because you're in this struggle, don't get caught up, because you will never be good enough. You cannot do enough good things. You'll not do enough bad things to make God not love you. We tend to think God is like I am, that God loves conditionally. And my friend, today, God does not love conditionally. God loves unconditionally. He don't care what you've done or what you're going to do or what you have done. He loves you so much, He gave His only begotten Son that you may be saved. And the reason you go through this problem, I can't tell you, but it's God's will. It's God's will. He had not hated His enemies. He had even been an example to his family. 32 through 35. The stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. If I covered my transgression as Adam by hiding my iniquity in my bosom, did I fear a great multitude, or did the contempt of my families terrify me, that I kept silence and went not out the door? Oh, that one would hear me. Behold, my desire is that the Almighty would answer me, and mine adversary had written a book. He's saying, God, look how good I am. I even speak to my family. You see, that's above most of us. Most of us was around family. A Thursday, how many of you told the lost ones about Jesus? How many of you was willing to live Jesus in front of those that didn't know Him? Now, all of y'all may not have them new families that don't know Him, but many of us do. How many of you was that good? Was that righteous that your family even looked on you? And that you was even open your mouth for the Lord in front of your families? And that your adversaries have nothing bad to say about you? This truly was a righteous man. So why was he going through this problem? Why was he going through this problem? You see, God begins showing Job something. He begins giving Job a little understanding. And each one of us, when we're in the storms of life, we'll never understand it. I'll never be able to understand why people's children are taken from them. I'll never be able to understand why cancer is putting upon some people. I'll never be able to understand why sicknesses are put against others and things that I just never understand it. But one thing we must understand is in this time that God is God, and besides Him, there is none other. He is God. And His reasons are good enough. He don't have to answer to me. He don't have to answer to you. As I told you, I struggled with some things, and He began showing me. I began thinking about the sun coming up and the trees was out there. And I thought, my goodness, God is in control of every bit of this. He can speak and the stars go into place. He can speak and worlds come into existence. My little problem is not out of His hand. Listen, your understanding of God must change in the storm. Your understanding of God must change in the storm. Job 38:4. And I want you to go back, if you have some time this week, and read Job from verse 31 on through 42. And you'll begin understanding some things. We don't have time for all of it this morning. But listen to this question God asked Job. Where was thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Can you understand how the foundation of the earth was laid? If you can, raise your hand. I want to talk to you. If you can understand how the stars was placed all those years ago, and I can still go out there tonight, if it's not cloudy, and I can look up and I can see the Big Dipper and the Little Dipper, and you know what? Bless God, they're still right where He put them. And I can't understand that. And this earth is spinning about 1,000 miles an hour, and how it always seems like I'm in the same place. Does that make sense to you? Do you understand how that we plant a little bitty seed, and out of that seed comes a great big tree that can give forth fruit, and you can plant a seed from that, and that seed never runs out. It keeps going. I can't understand that. Can you understand how that a child is formed in the womb of a mother? No, I can't. I can't understand how our bodies as great as it is. I cannot understand that, Rudy. I can't understand a lot of things. So why in the world do I think I should be able to understand my problem? Where was I when God laid the foundation of the earth? Where was I? You see, the problem is we think we know more than God. You say, well, I've been here in Pat's case 100 years. I know everything. Pat thinks there's nothing new she hadn't seen. I'm just using her for example. The Bible teaches us in James chapter number 4, verse 14. Listen to this. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time then vanishes away. And God is eternal. God, who is making these decisions, Always has been, always will be, and we think we want to tell him he's messing up. We think we want to tell him he's made a mistake. God, why did you do it that way? You should have did it my way. And all the time God's sitting there telling you, listen here, little vapor, your life is just a few years and then it's gone. You have no understanding. You cannot make an earth. You cannot make a human being. You cannot save a soul. You cannot do anything. So why are you telling me what to do? So in the middle of our problem, our understanding must change. And he will do that. Of all the great things that God's made, we can't even start to understand it. When you begin thinking about this, your head begins hurting. All the great things he's made, we can't even start to comprehend it. The oceans overwhelms me. How many of y'all have ever been on a cruise ship? That ocean is massive, ain't it? And you look around, you just see, I think you can see 16 or something miles around you. I don't forget what it is on a clear day, but you see just a very little bit of the oceans. But the oceans are massive. And the very depths of the deepest they've been able to find, I think, is 30-something thousand feet deep. 6 miles deep in the Pacific Ocean is the deepest they've found so far. How vast this thing is and how amazing. Listen, you know what God did? He spoke that into existence. He put that thing, stays in its bounds. It don't come to heffling. Some of us wish it would, but you really don't want it to, because God has that thing exactly where it's supposed to be. The ocean stays right where it's supposed to be. The sun stays where it's supposed to be. Of all those things, I cannot understand them. So why do I think I should understand my problem? And what little bit of understanding I have in the book of Job says comes from God. Chapter 38, verse 36. Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts? Who hath given understanding to the heart? If you have any understanding, listen, I understand very little of this word of God. And after 3 years you hear me preach, I'll probably say amen. I understand very little bit about this book. But what I have, you know what was put there? By the Holy Spirit of God. He's listened. He said, who had put wisdom in the inward parts? Who had given understanding to the heart? You see, I'm preaching this morning probably to most people here that knows the Lord. But what if I was preaching this outside on a street corner and there was people driving by that man never heard about God, who was going through cancer, who was going through a sickness, who had lost a loved one, who had lost a child, and they're thinking, God, I don't understand. I don't understand why this had to happen to me. I don't understand why this thing takes place. God, if you who you said you are, take this thing away. And God, in all his greatness, he's saying, you don't want me to take it away yet. You don't want it gone. You need it. Job needed this problem. You think, oh my goodness, that don't make sense. God goes through 4 chapters of his word to help us understand that we can't understand. Go back and read it. Job 31. I'm sorry. It's going to start in Job 34, I think it is. Up to the 40, I think. I didn't write this one down. But there's 4 chapters. That God devotes to us not being able to understand that we can't understand. You say, well, that's a lot of wasted space. No, it's not. God knew human beings when he created them. He knew that in 2019 that some of us is going to question why things are happening. Some of us are going to have to question why we're not successful as we think we are. Why this problem come upon me. Why that problem come upon me. We're going to question all those things. So God knew that we needed understanding. And to do this, he devoted 4 chapters of the book of Job to tell me that I don't know anything about his ways. I thought, God, you could have wrote some nice stuff in those 4 chapters. There is nice stuff in those 4 chapters. He asked Job question after question. I'm not going to go into all this, but listen, go and read that sometime. He says, Job, where was you when I created the earth, when I laid the foundations? Job, where was you when I created these great animals? Job, where was you when I made the crocodile? It causes I can't even pronounce that word, Lethanian or something. He says, where was you when I made that? You look that word up, most people believe it's a crocodile. He talks about the rhinoceros, some people think, in there. Some people say it's a hippopotamus. But he talks about how great they are and how that thing's got bones like iron and how it can destroy men and how he created that. And he is the only one that can control the animals. You see, people think you can tame these things. Let me tell you something, honey. You go out and get you a tiger and put it in your house, one day you're going to wind up supper. You cannot control them. You can't even control a dog. Dogs go off all the time and bite children. Yes, there are certain breeds that's more crazy about it, and chihuahuas and things like that, but listen, you can't control an animal. God speaks and they listen. God prepared everything they need. He wrote four chapters. So you know, after reading those four chapters of everything I don't know, you know what I have to take? I have to just trust God and say, God, maybe you know best. Maybe you know what you're doing. So not only must you get a better understanding in the storm, you must see God for who He is in the storm. Job 42, 1 through 6, back to where we started. Listen to this. He can do anything He chooses, anytime He chooses, and we must come to grasp with this. We must come to understand it and to live with it. That God can do anything. Listen to what Job said. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know thou can do everything. You see, we like to use that word when we're wanting something. When we're in a need and God's blessed us and things is pretty good and we're wanting just a little bit more, we say, God, I know you can do everything, so why not give me a new truck? God, I know you can do anything, so why not give me the relationship that I want so badly? God, I know you can do anything, why don't you speak and let this happen for me and that happen for me? See, when we say that word, that God can do everything, that means that God can control our lives any way He desires to do so, and me and you just to have to like it. But boy, that ain't fun, is it? Listen to what Job said. He said, God, I know you can do anything. He says, and I know that no thoughts can be withholden from you. God, I know that all this is in your control. God, I've heard this all my life. I've heard it, God. Job was about to understand something that me and you have to come to understand. Verse 3, he said, who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understand not things too wonderful for me which I knew not. He says, God, I got to admit something to you. I am guilty. I'm guilty of trying to tell you how to control my life. God, I'm guilty of having to tell you. How many times a week do we tell God what to do with the weather? God, we need rain. Oh, I'm so tired of this rain. God, would you let it stop? God, I'm tired of this hot weather. And then in October, I think October, Stephanie read somewhere, one of the only months on record that we had 100 degrees and freezing in the month of October. God, what are you doing? You're making me sick. It's 100 degrees in October, then it's 32 at the end of October. I don't know what you're doing, God, but why in the world are you doing this thing? Let me tell you how to handle this weather thing. And by the way, for years they thought we was under global warming. Have you heard the new thing that's out? Now they're saying that the oceans are freezing over and that carbon monoxide can't escape from them and we're going to freeze to death. I'd like to tell them something. God is in control. The temperature is exactly what it's supposed to be. Yes, man may have harmed the environment, I don't know. But I do know that it's not out of God's control and that God's still in control of it. And listen, I utter stuff all the time that's too wonderful for me or to keep my mouth shut. Things I don't understand. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered that I understand not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. Job is beginning to understand the need for prayer. In the middle of your struggles, when you begin getting a little understanding of who He is, you begin getting an understanding of your need to pray. You see, Job had knew to pray for all of his life, and you have known to pray all of your life. But let me tell you something. I'll tell you this from experience. You will never pray like you will in a storm. You will never pray like you will when things are bad. You will never pray like you will when you don't know what the outcome is going to be. By the way, you live every day of your life not knowing what the outcome is going to be. How many of y'all today knows what's going to happen tomorrow? If you do, raise your hands. How many of you today know for certain that you're going to be alive tomorrow? Not a one of us in here knows that. So why are we so worried about what's going to happen tomorrow? We don't even know if there's going to be a tomorrow. We assume there will be. I think we should plan that way. But listen, you honestly, you do not know what's going to be here tomorrow. But we worry about tomorrow. We tell God what to do tomorrow. And by the way, God is the only being that knows about tomorrow. To me and you, tomorrow don't exist yet. We're not there yet. Tomorrow won't exist for me and you unless we're alive at 12 o'clock tonight. Then tomorrow has came. But God knows, not only about tomorrow, but 1,000 years of tomorrows and 10,000 years of tomorrows. He knows all of that. Job saw the need to pray. He got a little understanding. And he saw that he must call out to God. Job began seeing God for who he is. Listen to the rest of this. He says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. God, I've heard about you from the time I was in Bible school as a small child. God, I've heard from you the time my mother could read me books. And maybe even still in my mother's stomach, I've heard of you. I've heard of you preach. I've heard preacher after preacher talk of you. I've heard of all these things. But God, in the middle of this storm, in the worst part of my life, when I can't imagine what's going on, God, now I haven't heard of you. Now I see you for who you are. I see you for who you are. Have any of y'all ever seen God for who he is? Some of you have. Y'all been in a storm, and God has showed himself to you. In the way of comfort, in the way of understanding, in the way of keeping on, in the way of getting up and going forward. But you see, when you see who God is, there's one action you have to take. There's never anywhere in the Bible where a person sees the attributes of God and continues about their same being. I'm talking about where a person really encounters God. When Paul encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, what happened to him? His life turned around, didn't it? Listen, you go through all the stories when people see who God truly is in their life turns around and they understand something. Job saw God with his eyes, and then he had to do something. He says, I arbor myself. I repent in dust and ashes. God, I see how great you are and all the understanding you have and how great you've made things, and now I see who I am. You see, when I see who God is, I'll begin seeing who I am. And unless you ever see this, I don't believe we're ever really saved. That's hard to say. But I'm telling you something that's biblical. Job had to see God for who he is and who he was. Job understood at this moment he needed a Savior. Job understood at this great moment in his life, when the worst thing was happening to him, when he didn't know what to do, that God was his only hope. In church, I tell you today, if you hadn't found this out, I pray you do. There is no hope in your righteousness. There's no hope in your checkbook. There's no hope in feeding the poor. There's no hope in all these other things. The only hope you have today is in a risen Savior. That's all. You have no other hope. I hope we see this today. And we do the only thing we can do. Our mind's not like God's. We can't see the future. We can't understand the past. God knows everything he's ever done, everything he will ever do. Me and you know very little. Matter of fact, I probably could ask you what you had for lunch 2 weeks ago on a Friday, and you probably couldn't tell me. But yet, we won't try to tell God how to handle our life. I probably could ask you, now I can ask you some things, some big things, of when you was married. Most of the women know this. I could ask you when your first child was born. Even most of the men know this. But God's got every thought that any person on the earth has ever thought in his mind. God has everything that has ever happened, every earthquake that he's allowed, every storm he's allowed in your life. He's never forgotten it. He never will forget it. And the ones that's coming, he's in control of those. So your righteousness means nothing in the storm. Your understanding of God must change in the storm. You must see God for who he is in the storm. And you must focus on others for the storm to pass or the storm to turn. You thought, ooh, where'd you come up with this? Job 42, verse 10. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job. If you stop right there and we could add our 10 cents into it, knowing the story, what would you have said? The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he realized who God was. Nope. God turned the captivity of Job when he realized how sorry he was as a person. Nope. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Others. When Job put others above his own self, God turned his captivity. God turned his problem. You see today that God doesn't have, and listen, I struggle with this. This is right to me today. As I was doing this, studying through this yesterday, I was thinking, Lord, if nobody else shows up, I'm still going to preach it because it's for me. You see, I wonder in my struggles, I wonder in my problems, and the reason that my problems haven't turned undoubtedly is because I haven't prayed for my friends. You say, what does that have to do with anything? It's God's way. It's God's desire that you put others above yourself. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And I don't know that you can pray for your friends and your problems are going to vanish away and you're going to have twice as much money in the bank as you've ever had. Or you're going to have twice as good a relationship as you've ever had. Or you're going to have twice as good a spiritual thing as you've ever... I don't know that that's going to happen. But I do know it happened to Job. I do know that God required Job to pray for his friends. And when he did, Job's storm passed. You know why that happened, I believe? That God had come full circle in Job's life. He allowed Job to see his righteousness meant nothing. He allowed Job to see the money he had and all that was about nothing. All the good he could do for everybody was about nothing. The only thing he had was God. And I believe he wanted Job to reach a lost and dying world. You see, the forgiveness of his friends. These are friends that came to Job when Job was in his hardest time and told Job all he had done wrong. And Job hadn't done anything wrong. Friends who had come with false counsel, God called it. He said, who is this that gives us counsel without knowledge? These men didn't have any knowledge of what God was doing. Neither does anybody have knowledge of what God's doing in your life. But God desires that you pray for those lost souls. That you pray for those that don't know him. This may just be what it is that turns your captivity, that turns your storm, that turns things about in your life. As I was thinking about Job, I couldn't imagine. I've heard people say before, oh, I would love to be like Job. You see in the first part of that chapter, as Satan was going to and fro, searching whom he may devour, and searching who he could tempt for God, against God, God said, have you considered my servant Job? I've heard people say, oh, I'd love for my name to have been there. Well, you by yourself, because I wouldn't want mine to be there. Not only did Job lose all of his belongings, he lost his children. Lost everything. Even his body was broke out in boils so bad he had to take metal and scratch it. Job was miserable in every area of his life. But in through all these things of Job, God showed Job who he was. And the reason you may be going through your storm, God wanting you to see who he is. As Pat comes with a verse. Again, I don't have understanding for your storm. Everyone would please stand. I don't have understanding of your storm. Most of the time, I don't even understand my storm. But one thing I've come to understand through a storm is God is in control. Why he allows things, my mind will never comprehend it. Why he puts us through things that's hard don't make any sense because he said he loves us. Until we understand that God knows best, we will be miserable. We will live in fear. We'll live in a spot that God don't want you to be. There's scripture after scripture about do not fear in the Word of God. It's not there to take up space. It's there for you. If you're here this morning, you're going through a storm, would you come cry out to God? Would you take just a moment and let him show you who he is and who you are? And when you see this, you'll have no choice but to say, God, thank you for who you are. And God, thank you for showing me who I am. And then when you pray for those, you've got ones on your heart right now that you know. We never know a heart, but we know a lifestyle. Will you pray for that life? Will you pray for them to turn to God? Has anybody in here ever been through a storm? Ever been through a hard place? Is anybody going through one now? not, y'all are doing pretty good.